Hi, friends. Witchblaze Radio will be back with a new episode very soon, but for now, this is an episode from the vault. If you haven't already heard me talk about this ad nauseum, there was about 40 or 50 episodes from way back in 2013-14 that, when I changed podcast hosting companies, those episodes didn't make the cut. Due to my own incompetence, they didn't get pulled across to the current feed, which is how you access the podcast from Spotify, from Apple Podcasts, from all the different platforms. So those episodes, they exist. You can find them online if you do some digging, but they're not easy to get the normal way you listen to podcasts. They're not on the website. They're not on the feed. They're hard to find. So this is one of those episodes. It's from 2014, and it was a conversation with singer-songwriter Carly Dow and with Sheldon Burney, who's probably best known now as the author of books like Missing Like Teeth and for some of his fiction as well. But at the time, he was the editor of Stylus magazine, and he was also a musician as well. So we had both of them on, and for those who are unfamiliar with the old format of the show, we used to pick a randomly generated theme word, and we'd ask our guests to choose songs that they related to that theme. When I put these episodes back out again, because this is all other people's music that we don't have any kind of copyrights or licensing or anything for, the songs aren't in there. You hear about a second, and then it fades out. But you definitely get to hear the guests talking about the songs, why they chose them, how they think they fit the theme, and of course, if you want to look them up afterwards, you can certainly do that. This was a fun conversation. We talked about the apocalypse, talked about nuclear war, all kinds of ridiculous things, and the sound quality, because it's an old episode, is pretty shitty. We recorded it in former co-host John's basement in the middle of winter, I think, or at least the beginning of spring, and it was cold out, so the heater comes on. The furnace comes on, and you hear it. And that was kind of a constant problem with us with the winter episodes, is that the heater would turn on, and it would it wouldn't drown out the talking, but it would certainly be a presence on those old episodes. So it's there, but each of the guests performs a live song right at the beginning, and those actually sound great. The conversation audio, not so hot, but the live recordings, super good. So check it out. Stay tuned for more new current Witch Police episodes. But I also have a lot more of these From the Vault episodes, and I'm going to start releasing a few of those every now and then as well. So there'll be more of these, just as an opportunity for people to hear them, who maybe missed them 11 years ago when they first came out. And if you already heard it, maybe you want to check it out again. Maybe you liked part of the episode, maybe you like either one of their songs. It's just a good chance to reacquaint yourself with some early episodes of the podcast. Thanks again for listening.
Witch Police Radio, this is episode number 66.
Yeah, our theme this week, randomly generated by the computer, is nuclear.
And we're joined this week by two guests. There's Carly Dow, she's a singer and songwriter.
And Sheldon Burney, who is the frontman of the band Cheering for the Bad Guy. He's also the editor of Stylus magazine, and he's a freelance writer for a ton of different publications.
Yeah, so check out the links to both of their work on the page.
Yeah, both of them actually also perform live on the show, which is cool. We haven't had a live guests in a while, so we got live guests. We haven't had a live performance in a while.
So. Yeah, and so they're both going to do a track to start us off here. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, and if you want to find more episodes of the show, go to witchpolice.com, hit podcasts, and there's links to all the previous 65 episodes, all downloadable for free or streaming for free.
Yeah, we're on Facebook, Witch Police Radio. We're on Twitter at Witch Police FM,
and we're on the actual radio Monday nights, 11 p.m. Central Time on 101.5 UMFM in Winnipeg. If you're not in Winnipeg, you can still stream the shows live at umfm.com.
Yeah, and we're also on Stitcher.
Yeah. If you want to find us on Stitcher, you can. We encourage you to do it, actually. It's a way you can listen to podcasts and talk radio much easier just on your mobile device. So check out Stitcher.com. There's an app you can download for free.
Yeah.
And you can subscribe to our show
that way. It'll, you know, if you like podcasts and you're listening to something, it'll recommend other similar
Yeah, so we're hoping
stuff people, to try out.
We're hoping it'll recommend our show to other people who maybe haven't heard it. So, So yeah, the theme nuclear, some pretty weird songs. Not what I was expecting at all, actually.
No.
The overall tone of the thing, but yeah, it was a good one.
Check it out.
Stay tuned for the live performances.
Well, this song is called Down This Road, and it's going to be on my new record. Thank you.
This kind of ties in with this week's theme of a nuclear holocaust. It's a song called Vanity of Vanities, which comes out of a song, I think it's Song of Solomon, biblical. Anyways. I woke up from a terrifying dream. Grass was black and there were no leaves on the trees. Ashes fell like snowflakes from the sky. I could hear a voice in my head, we're all gonna die. So I ran out to see if my dream was untrue. Sky was a dirty brown instead of a blue. And the rain that come pouring down, it burned my eyes. I could hear that voice again, we're all gonna die. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. We're all gonna die, we're all gonna die. Well, I went down to the river, but it was black. I looked up to the sky, all I could see were smokestacks. Ashes fell like snowflakes from the sky. I could hear that voice again, we're all gonna die. So I went to a lake, but there were dead fish on the shore. Looked out to the coast and I seen a million more. I called up my MP, but she told me a lie. I could hear that voice again, we're all gonna die. Vanity, oh vanity, all is vanity. We're all gonna die, we're all gonna die. I come home, I was tired, I was sore and burnt. My mind was running with everything that I had learned. Well, I called out my window, rally and cry. But all it echoed back is we're all gonna die. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. We're all gonna die, we're all gonna die. When plants and the trees and the animals are gone, how do you expect us to live on? I'll tell you, right now, we're all gonna die. Thank you, friends.
Hey, welcome to Witch Police Radio.
Yes, episode number 66.
66. This is your regular host, John.
Regular host, Sam, also here.
Yeah, we're here, and we have some guests with us. But maybe before we get to them, the theme for this week is...
Nuclear. Yeah.
If you're not familiar with the show, we have a random word generator that generates a random word, and then we're going to pick some songs based on the theme nuclear.
Yeah, and it's kind of a good one. I mean, there's been a few themes lately where I've been struggling to find some songs, but this one, there's a lot of stuff that came up. Like, I have way more songs in my head that I'm going to actually... I haven't even decided what I'm going to play yet, actually, because there's so many good ideas, so...
All right, we'll have to figure it out.
Yeah.
And our guests are going to play some songs. Our guests this week are Carly Dow.
Hey, Carly. Hi.
And Sheldon.
How's it going?
I forget your last name, Sheldon.
Bernie.
Bernie.
Very good. Very good introductions, John. Maybe what we should do is we should talk about who our guests are, and then...
We'll do that.
Yeah. So, are you watching the hockey game?
No. You talk
about watching
it. Okay, we're watching the hockey game while we're doing this. So if there's any lulls in the show, it's the overtime Jets game. I mean, this will be old news by then.
Yeah.
We'll probably already be out of the playoffs, but whatever. Okay, so yeah, our guests. One guest, Sheldon Bernie over here. He works at Stylist Magazine, plays in the band Cheering for the Bad Guy. And I was actually looking at your website today, and I realized that you've done a lot of other writing for like a ton of other publications, including some stuff that I'd read, but not actually made the connection. So that's what else are you? Is that all freelance stuff you're doing?
Yeah, I do as much freelance as I can get my hands on. I do whatever writing I can get, whatever editing jobs I can get. That's sort of my only skill or trade.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I try to make my money doing that when I can, and it's also, I love it, so it's a good mix of both. When I can do the journalism stuff, that's awesome. I do a lot of basic copywriting as well, which isn't as fun, but it's kind of its own challenge, so.
Cool, okay. So what kind of background do you have for that?
I've just always been writing. I kind of got involved, I guess more seriously, at the University of Manitoba, where I actually went to school with Carly.
Okay.
At the Manitoban there, and then through that, it just kind of snowballed the interest. It was always there, but that kind of gave me the
cool
bit of the skills in behind it.
Cool. The reason I ask is because like people, we've talked about this on the show before because we've had other writers on, and I used to be like a journalist. I worked for quite a while as just a news reporter, and I also wrote some stuff. I wrote a lot for Uptown. I did a few things for Stylist way back in the day, things like that. But now I'm kind of out of that, different career path.
Yeah.
Kids and stuff, no time. But I'm always happy to talk to other people who are still doing it, especially doing the music writing as well, because, I mean, that was something that I always wanted to do more of, but just never had much time to do because I had the real, day-to-day reporting jobs. But, yeah, so I'm very glad to have you here. I'm a big fan of Stylist for a long time. I think it seems to be continuing to, get better and,
cool.
It's a good magazine. So.
Yeah, how long has it been around,
25 years in October. We're in the 25th. Volume right now.
Yeah.
So we're kind of slowly doing some some things around the 25th with hopefully
That's
a big
exciting.
Celebration
cool.
going on in October.
Well, I've seen a lot of historical stuff in there. That'd be the stories from past issues.
That's true. Maybe I saw quite a bit of that probably around the 20th.
Yes.
They
did some really cool stuff there, and we're going to kind of, not to try to redo what they did, but kind of follow that same idea of kind of celebrating the history a bit and then hopefully, keeping the interest going so that the next 25 years are there for one thing, but also people are aware of the history, which is kind of
that's neat. Longer than I would guess, I think, that it's been around. And so, that's enough time for it to be, a generation or two removed. And so it's a whole other scene back when those were being written.
Yeah, it's
so
interesting history, and we're hoping to kind of explore that and share that and, kind of remind people who either forgotten about it or kind of and don't read it anymore but know it's still around, or for people who read it now but don't really know anything about the history. They're just much like myself before I started digging through all the archives and learning about it that way.
Cool. Is that they have pretty thorough archives there?
They've got almost all the issues on hand, with a lot of stuff kind of especially recently, 2000 onward, I think their print run might have been a bit high at some point,
so
and then they cut it back.
Yeah.
So what we're doing this whole year is kind of finding an interesting issue that we do have a lot of, kind of distributing it with the new issues, but including some archival downloads from CKW, tapes they have that are now digitized but just sitting there kind of on their hard drives, just as an incentive for people to pick up the old one, maybe check it out. Some of them are really neat, see either bylines by people who've gone on to do cool stuff.
Or just old bands that people were in.
Exactly, when you go far back, you see just some really neat stuff with bands who have, gone to the heights of Winnipeg music or whatever.
Yeah, for sure,
it's
really cool, I really like Witch Police, now it's, Witch Police Radio is a podcast, but the website, which kind of spawned all this, has been kind of a similar idea where we just started just taking old tapes and CDs and things from bands that we were in and our friends were in and things like that, and just digitizing them, archiving them online, and that's kind of, from there, we got a lot of people submitting stuff and everything, so I love seeing that kind of thing happening.
I think it's really cool, there's so much neat stuff out there that only exists on tape or CDRs or limited run CDs.
Yeah.
That
guy made 20 copies at a show, sold them at a show, and
totally.
Then that's it. It's gone.
Yeah.
And then it turns out it's amazing, unbelievably.
Exactly. Yeah.
Good music.
There's so much of that in the city. So we're just trying to, tap
Very
into
cool.
that kind of history of the magazine and also just get people fired up about the city's music history.
Definitely. That's really cool.
Nice.
Stylist is still entirely, pretty much entirely volunteers.
Yeah, there's myself and the art director, whatever the guy does all the artwork, or not well, does the artwork, does the layout. He also runs the web, he does the web hosting and all the fixes, the problems that arise and that stuff. And we're both kind of you know, part-time sort of. We've got a couple, the distro guy and our assistant editor are on kind of like very kind of embarrassingly small honorary
system.
You know.
I guess that's not the point, really, though. Yeah. If you're writing for, if you're working on that magazine, you want to...
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're really tied in with the student kind of history coming out of the UWSA, and they're... I'm not sure exactly the history. It seems like some years there might have been a bit of adversarial relationship, but now it's pretty good.
That's cool. Yeah.
They're pretty proud of what we do, and we're trying to really let them know that this is a unique thing that exists in Canada.
Yeah, a lot of universities have something similar.
The interesting thing with Stylus is that it's kind of history, and also that it is just music focused. You know, there's other places that have done it. Discord is the only one that I can really think of that's been doing it as long or longer.
Yeah.
And otherwise, there's been some that have come and gone, but for some reason, Discorder and I guess they both have strong kind of student radio cultures
maybe.
And that sort of thing. CITR is a pretty interesting place in and of itself.
And they both have really, really interesting just arts communities in general, mm-hmm. right?
True.
In Winnipeg, and so I'm assuming that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anyway, that's...
Nice. Well, maybe since we've been talking to Sheldon, you want to start us off with a tune?
Sure. As you guys know, but the listeners don't, I left these LPs right by my goddamn door when I came to catch the buses, and then the buses themselves were a bit of a rigmarole. And my initial track was going to be Nuclear War by Voivod.
Okay.
But I don't have that on my phone. I don't have it here. My follow-up to that was going to be, or is, because I can play it off this magic computer in my pocket, a track from the Shooting Guns new record.
Oh, yeah.
Which to me kind of seems like you've emerged on this like post-apocalyptic like nuclear like landscape, and you're maybe the only thing alive, but then there's like this beast coming trailing you, and the song's Predator 2, kind of inspired by the terrifying movie of the same name.
Shooting Guns is like the best. They're like one of my favorite Canadian bands that I've heard in the past maybe 5-10 years. Like, unbelievable.
I can't get enough of those guys. I've bought really awesome. The Dub Ditch tape that they
just
put out.
I have that too. I have all the 7-inches and stuff. And
Something about them just connects on a level that when I first heard about him, it was editing an article that had been submitted on them when they kind of first, or maybe it was their second time in the city. And it sounded just cool, but on paper it was like instrumental like doom metal, isn't really up my alley. But as soon as I got into
it, that's totally up my alley.
I'm sold on it.
Just hearing instrumental doom on the cam in.
Nice. So that's the track I was going to play here.
Let's check it out.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, Shooting Guns.
That was all kinds of awesome.
Scary stuff. I get a little bit frightened if I'm in the wrong state of mind and maybe alone at home. And
alone in the
jar.
One thing is that I had it at such a volume that we could actually still talk to each other.
Yeah.
And I've only gone and I've only had the chance to go see Shooting Guns once, but they're the
volume
crazy
is
loud.
Huge, yeah.
It's a huge important, it's a huge aspect of it because I think I could feel organs shifting and it was pretty intense.
You're supposed to, really. I mean, it's cool to listen to it even on headphones at a quiet, but I mean, it's made for...
Yeah.
It's made to be loud.
Yeah, that's definitely part of their aesthetic is the heaviness and the loudness of their show and of their tunes just in general.
The one thing I like about them a lot, I think what kind of drew me to them in the first place is that, a lot of doom metal I listen to has vocals, and this doesn't, obviously, but a lot of instrumental music in general will replace the vocals with some kind of lead instrument. And even though these guys have a keyboard, which is a bit of a different thing, it really doesn't play a melody so much as it just kind of is part of
it's not
of
over
the,
and above.
Yeah, like. It's just like this consistent rhythmic kind of dirge, which is I really love
very
that.
Very textural, their sound. You know?
Yeah, it's for sure. It's not all of a sudden this guy's doing a solo. It's really cool.
What venue do they play when they come to town?
The first time I seen them was at Negative Space.
Oh, yeah.
Which was awesome. Yeah. And they played the Windsor last time, which
that's
was also awesome.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Every time I feel so bad, I hear they're coming and I just can't go. And, they're really good.
I missed them a couple times, but I try to make it happen.
Yeah.
Whether I'm going by myself or dragging someone along to check it out.
Yeah.
Definitely try my hardest to get out.
Yeah, these guys got longlisted for the Polaris Prize a few years ago. I remember seeing that. That was I kind of I don't agree with the Polaris Prize. I don't like this. I don't like this. But when they were on there, I was just oh shoot! But of course, they made it shortlisted. You know,
it's a long
I didn't
shot,
expect
but
it. But
pretty cool, nonetheless.
Really cool, yeah. I think that got them a lot of attention too, because like when this came out, it sold out like mm-hmm. the LP really quickly.
And this one's getting a lot of press internationally. Yeah. Really, it's moving. You know, it's toxic sludge making its way across.
Yeah, is there a bit of like a movement with that kind of music? Because like someone like Sun O or however you might pronounce it.
Yeah, that's a good band.
Well, that's like it's not the type of music I'd listen to, but I've heard of it because it's just like this is playing at festivals and stuff now.
I think this especially because there's no lyrics. It kind of like, you know, a lot of the stuff that I listen to that's in this kind of style, I mean, the lyrics are ridiculous. They're just over the top about witches and shit, right? I mean, like, which is fine. I love it, but I mean, it's not necessarily going to appeal to someone who listens to, like, I don't know, just a regular pop song or something. But I mean, this, people can get into it, like, you know, like you're saying, it's got texture to it and everything. Mm-hmm. And like, whatever you listen to, you might just say, oh, this sounds cool. I kind of like it. And it's not like, you know, talking about sacrificing yourself to Satan or something.
Yeah, I mean, if that gets in your head with listening to it, that's one thing. But it's not like beating you over the head with it.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, the guy does, you know, they're not walking around with, like, you know, face tattoos or pentagrams and stuff. Like, so,
exactly.
Yeah. Like, one of my favorite bands is Electric Wizard. And I mean, like, similar musically, but yeah, the lyrics are about, you know, the name of the band implies what the lyrics are about. You know, so I can see why this is more accepted as, like, by people who aren't necessarily into the genre. But yeah, great band, for sure.
So moving away from, like, heavy music, our other guest is Carly now.
Onto the funky side of things.
And, yeah, definitely more of the guitar and voice
pretty music. Lyrically driven.
Yeah.
Your songs have any doom parts?
Yeah, do you ever? Well, yeah, cause there could be, like, folky songs about doom and gloom.
Doom. Kind of creepy songs once in a while, but I don't know if they'd get the same feel as that last track did.
Okay. For someone who's maybe never heard your music before, what would you describe it as, or what's going on?
Yeah, like I said, it's pretty lyrically driven. I play guitar and banjo, and the band I play with is drums, bass, and electric guitar, so it's pretty folk rock, influenced by the likes of Gillian Welsh or Amelia Curran.
Have you been doing stuff with the band for a while, or is this a fairly
new thing?
They're
pretty new. I pretty recently started doing some solo stuff, and I've been playing either by myself or as a duo with this band, and it's pretty awesome with them because I can play bar gigs and get people dancing, and it's a pretty different feel than just playing by my lonesome, so it's great. I like the flexibility of it, but yeah, it's very different.
Nice. Different and I think I heard some rumors about you recording at some point in your future.
Finally doing it this year. September is slotted for recording, and probably a release in the spring of next year.
So. Okay. You say finally, is this something that you've been putting off, or is it just something that's never really... the stars haven't aligned?
It hasn't really worked out with timing, and now I feel confident that I have enough material and it's ready. So, and I've been playing with this group, and they're tight, and they're awesome, so I'm really stoked to record with them. And so I think it's all going to come together pretty well.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah, I'm excited. Awesome.
Do you find that Winnipeg is pretty? I mean, whether it's for the solo stuff more so, is there a lot of places to play here that are open to that kind of thing? Or
yeah, I mean, there are some key venues, like the Times Changed, even like the Park Theater, and there's lots of smaller venues coming up, like the one on Princess Avenue is pretty awesome for kind of underground shows. Yeah, Winnipeg's pretty good for the roots scene. Like, it's incredible, and everyone in the scene is really collaborative and supportive. There's not really much competition in a negative way, so it's pretty great.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of, you know, there's like, we had someone in here who was in a reggae group, Fernando from
from Rastamills.
Oh yeah, Rastamills. Yeah,
and there's a bit of like not animosity, but like between reggae groups, you'd think that, you know, there's not very many of them. They'd be like,
yeah, actually, we learned a lot. I mean,
they'd be on the same page
about how crazy the politics in the local reggae scene are.
It sounds like the exact opposite.
I don't know much at all about the.
But yeah, no, it sounds like what you're describing. The root scene is very different. Yeah.
And like that sort of across maybe the country, I think, right? There seems to be a lot of support for touring,
and
people arranging shows for each other, maybe in different cities.
It's pretty easy to make friends and network and get people to put on shows for you in different cities.
Mm-hmm. I guess the travel thing too, if you just got a guitar,
like Jesse and I just recently did the Via Rail train thing. Just walk on the train with your instrument and you play and you get free board and
that's awesome.
Nice. That's awesome.
The food is incredible. So it's like, yeah, it's easy if you're just by yourself or with one other person and you can just play. So yeah,
cool.
It's pretty great.
All right, so you brought some
music.
Yeah,
I brought
you
some records. This one is actually the song I would say that got me into songwriting, which is interesting that it kind of fits in with your theme. It's called The Hard Rain's Gonna Fall by Bob Dylan. And it's a pretty long one. Looking at it now, it's like 7 minutes, but we can listen to part of it at least.
I think we'll check out the whole thing. It's cool. Some earlier Bob Dylan.
Some earlier Bob Dylan. It was in his, what he sometimes called his protest song phase.
Or a lot of other people would call anyway. Yeah,
so I think this song, when he was interviewed right after he wrote it, he said he wrote it based on reflections on the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Well, yeah, that totally fits in with the theme.
Yeah, exactly. And then he, you know, contradicted himself later and said he doesn't write protest songs, and then said all of his songs are protest songs, so...
Yeah, I don't think you can take anything he says.
Take what you want out of the song, because the lyrics are pretty incredible.
Okay, well, let's check it out.
Check it out.
Oh, where have you been, my blue-eyed son?
We're back from the song.
Yeah, that's a classic.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
There's pretty stark imagery in that one.
Yeah.
Take from it what you want, but...
Well, one thing I actually find that, like, with Bob Dylan, I kind of... I mean, obviously, I like the acoustic stuff, too, but some of his, like, earlier electric stuff, I really like how jangly it is and how...
Yeah.
But, like, this stuff, I like it because it's just verse. There's just, like, so just many verses, and it's the same, you know, like, the vocal doesn't change the way he influences anything.
Exact
it's just
same.
Yeah, it's cool. I have the big hardcover book of his lyrics, the one that came out in the 80s, so there's a few albums at the end there that didn't get in there. But it's really cool to just randomly look at something, and some of the songs are... I mean, this one is very... I mean, straightforward, I think, but some of the other ones just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's
crazy. But apparently, I looked it up while we were listening to this, and apparently he said in, like, at the time that it wasn't about nuclear fallout, so, but then he's since
I think people at the time were interpreted that way just because that's what was happening, so.
Well, and this is a guy, too, who, like, people make their careers off interpreting his songs, right?
I mean, exactly.
He's, like, probably the most analyzed lyrics, I would think, of anyone, so... I mean, this could be about anything.
Well, and that's the thing, is, like, it's not, like, the whole song has to... You know, there's going to be bits and pieces thrown in from, all over the place.
Yeah. So. Yeah, for sure.
Apparently, at one point, he said that every line in it is actually the start of a whole new song. So, but when I wrote it, I thought I wouldn't have enough time alive to write all those songs, so I put them all in this one. So it could be just... I mean, I don't think it is random. It definitely seems like it's about what we were thinking it's about, but yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good tune, though.
Yeah, so you're saying this almost is kind of like got you, or inspired you to start songwriting?
Yeah, I heard this song in grade 9 at a Remembrance Day service or something at school.
Must have been a long Remembrance Day service.
It was a long service. But I was sitting there listening to these words, and it just kind of blew me away when I was, like, 15. So I was, like, really excited about writing after that point and songwriting. So it got me going.
Mm. And so did you start right away with, like, putting words to music?
I've always been interested in writing just for the sake of writing, and I hadn't really considered the thought of performing in front of people. That, like, did not cross my mind.
Yeah.
I started hanging out with people in high school who were really interested in music, and eventually they kind of, like, peer pressured me into, like, combining words and music, because I had been learning guitar before that, so I performed in front of my grade 10 English class, like, huddled and nervous and just freaked out, but it was great. I'm glad I did it, and I can't imagine doing anything else now, so it's funny how things work out.
I think Bob Dylan has that effect on a lot of people, though. Like, when they first hear him, they're like, oh, I can do this, you know? Because, like,
yeah.
And not because it's easy, but, like, it's the opposite of that. But it's because it sounds so easy, because it's a guy who, like, you know, his voice isn't that great. It's not, he's not, like, a, you know, obviously a classically trained singer.
Yeah.
Or anything.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, I have a shitty voice. I can do that, you know? Right?
Yeah,
I mean, and it probably inspires, like, millions of just horrible musicians. Yeah. But also, there are some good ones.
Or really pretentious songwriters.
Or really pretentious songwriters, right? Because people are trying to do that, and they can't.
They can't pull
that off.
Yeah,
you can just pull that off.
Yeah, I think if someone has such a unique voice like that, you can't. And everyone thinks it. I mean, a good example, like, going back to journalism, is I know, you know, when I was in journalism school and stuff, and just over the years reading a lot of, you know, a lot of newspapers, magazines, whatever, tons and tons of people think that they can write like Hunter S. Thompson, right?
Yeah.
And they can't. They can't. I mean, it's bad. It doesn't work. But it seems like, okay, well, he's drunk. He's on acid. He's whatever. I'm going to do this, and then my story's going to be. But you can't. I think the same thing with Bob Dylan. I know three chords. I can kind of sing, but it's not necessarily.
Yeah, and with most art forms, like, we've had, like, comedians in here, I think, too, where, like, you start off by, like, being inspired by something, you imitate
those
and then you have to find your own voice. You can't just imitate someone for an entire
career
unless...
Yeah. Unless you're a cover band.
Yeah, you're playing at, like, a casino or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
that's true.
So it's okay when you're starting, but if you're trying to, publishing, writing, or, you know, performing songs and stuff, it's good to
when it's very blatant,
yourself
then it's not gonna go over so well, I guess I'm going to play something now. I mean, we got to
talk about
Bob Dylan.
There's a lot that we could say about Bob Dylan.
it's far too much,
that came on 62, and then, so I'm going to play something. I had a bunch of ideas, like I was saying at the outset. Like, I had tons of things that kept floating around in my head. One thing I wanted to play, but I'm not going to, but I wanted to play No Nuclear War by Peter Tosh, and I brought the record, not that people can see it, but, like, I'll show it to you guys. It's got really an amazing album cover. It's like the last album he put out before he died, and it's really,
so
really like super 80s production and stuff, and not that great. But
Holocaust.
So I'm not gonna play it. But one thing that the first thing that actually came to mind was this, the Peter Tosh record, and then the song "The Great Atomic Power" by the Leuven Brothers. I've talked about the Leuven Brothers on the show before. I played them, I think, at least once, and we've gone into great detail about them and stuff. But basically, all I want to say about this is, if you don't know the Leuven Brothers, they're a country gospel duo. From around the early 50s and onward. And this song is, it's about nuclear war, which obviously was a big concern at that point in history. And it's not really saying, you know, let's run and hide or stop the war or whatever. It's basically saying, are you ready for this to happen so we can be raptured and, like, go to heaven? Because, like, I mean, you know... Last time we talked about the Leuven Brothers, the theme of the episode was Satan. Satan is real. And, like, they're very, very devoutly religious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel that their music, or maybe just a lot of stuff back then, is expressed in a weird way where it's almost welcoming, like, bad things happening because the good things will result of it for the true believers or whatever. So, I mean, it's especially weird because I'm, like, the least religious person ever. And I love this stuff. I don't know, something about, like, someone believing that hard in something that's kind of crazy.
I love it.
It always appeals to me. So this is what I'm going to play. It's from 52. It's definitely, like, a product of the times. And Leuven Brothers are amazing. So, Great Atomic Power. So that was Ira and Charlie Leuven with the Great Atomic Power.
Love it.
Yeah, it's just great. So awesome. Like, it's I really like their kind of worldview.
You know?
It's like, I mean, Satan is Real is the one that most people have heard and that we've played before on the show, and that's the same thing. It's not like, I mean, you think a song about Satan is going to be like, oh no, we're all going to hell. It's like, and it is that, but it's like, you know, you guys are going to hell. We're not going to hell. Or we're all sinners. We got to make sure we don't go to hell. Yeah. So it's really a weird take, because every other song that I know about nuclear war basically is like really dark and down. Mm-hmm. This is dark too, but it's like, oh no, we got to stop this. How are we going to, this is just like, let it come.
Let it come. We'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. We're good. Yeah. And then, like, again, this is something I brought up last time we talked about them, but you guys weren't here, so I'll say it again. The thing that I find the most interesting about them is that of the two brothers, the one who died super young, Ira, he was, like, the worst sinner ever. Like, he was, yeah. like, you know, abusive to his wife, and, like, he was, like, drunk all the time, and, like, you know, getting car accidents and all kinds of absolutely, like, everything they sing about not doing, he did, like, and he got shot by his wife because he was, like, attacking her. Like, it's just a crazy story. And, yeah, and he died super young, and, like, so, I don't know. It almost seems like whenever you hear him singing, it almost feels like he's, like, really meaning it, like, you know, because he's, like, thinking himself, his head, like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Am I going? Like, yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, I love them. I don't even know how I probably first heard them because of Satan is Real, and yeah. it's kind of like, oh, this is such a silly album cover. So I bought the deluxe edition of the CD, and then it was like, this is one of the best records I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, it's,
I have a vinyl
incredible
now. Like, I love it, yeah. So.
Yeah. Nice.
The Ruben Brothers are amazing.
Yeah. I'm actually going to play something from, like, the same time period.
Are you?
So this is good, yeah, from 55. This is a song that, like, I'd never heard before, but it's Elton Britt.
Okay, I don't know who's that.
I didn't know who it was, but this guy recorded this. He's just some guy. He recorded, like, 60-plus albums.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah, for RCA.
Well, hold on a second. Before you get into the next song, like, yeah. Since we're talking about country and stuff, I think we should talk about your band.
Oh, totally.
Like, because, you know, I was listening to some of it. Well, I mean, I've heard you guys before. I didn't realize you were the guy from Cheering for the Bad Guy. But you guys obviously have a country vibe going on there. Like,
yeah.
A country punk kind of thing happening there.
Yeah.
Can you just, like, tell us a little bit about the band?
In much the same way that Carly just kind of described how she, you know, played in a few groups, started writing her own songs, and started out as a solo kind of act. I had done the same kind of thing, must be about 6 years ago now. I used to play in a lot of, like, punk rock bands,
yeah.
and that sort of culture or world or whatever. But then was always listening to Bob Dylan and Neil Young when
yeah.
I was had enough of fucking
yeah.
Ronald McRaegan or whatever, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just started writing country songs because I, just like that song, I love the simplicity of it, the way they're able to get emotions forward in, like, the most simple language and a kind of
mm-hmm.
very simple
yeah.
structure.
Yeah.
It's very much like punk rock to me, but without the, like, spit and, like, angst
yeah.
of youth. But,
yeah,
like,
for sure.
You know, it came from the very... A lot of it that I first got into was the same kind of stuff, you know, like poor, rural
yeah.
stories.
Yeah.
And from there, it just kind of evolved into a band because it was much more fun. I was just, like, hanging out with my buddies
yeah.
playing music, and
yeah.
it's more fun to get people up and rowdy at a bar
yeah.
than
sure.
it is just
yeah.
to try to convince them to listen to you for
yeah.
half an
yeah,
hour
totally,
or 45
yeah.
minutes.
Well, they're all talking over you.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah,
and I mean,
yeah.
like, you know, I put a lot of thought into the lyrics of our stuff as well. It's just very storytelling.
Yeah.
Country songs, but definitely cranked up with a bit of beer consumption and
yeah,
rock
yeah.
kind
yeah.
of attitude behind it for sure.
That's cool. That's cool. And you guys have a record out?
We just put
or?
A record
yeah.
out in October called Next Year Country that we're pretty fired up about. We've done three now, and that's the one that as soon as it came out, we still sounded like the record. You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
we found the first couple of years we were rotating guys in and out, or people would drop out for because they had a kid or
yeah.
they moved away or
yeah.
had something else going on or whatever, that it was really hard to get to the sound that we were kind of
yeah.
aiming for, you
yeah.
know? And with this one, I feel like we've nailed it, and it's
cool.
it's nice.
Cool.
I'm very pleased with the way it came out, so we're still kind of pushing that. When we put it out, I'd just gotten married and bought a house, so I don't feel like I gave it a proper
yeah, yeah,
proper release and push,
yeah.
so
yeah.
we'll be pushing this one for a little while, I think.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Nice. Do you guys play, like, outside of Winnipeg much?
We used to play a lot of rural Manitoba.
Yeah,
like
makes sense.
You know, like tons
sound-wise,
of
yeah, yeah.
Like we had one summer we were gone almost every weekend to, like, you know, Glenbrough or Hartley
oh, yeah, yeah.
or Clear Lake
yeah.
Yeah. and places like that. We play in Brandon and Saskatoon
yeah,
now and
yeah.
then, but we don't go too far afield. We all have careers and
yeah.
A
yeah,
couple
hard,
have kids
do.
And
yeah.
houses and that sort of thing. And, you know, we're pretty happy with kind of being like a regional act at this
yeah.
point, you know,
yeah.
Because that's where we feel comfortable and that's kind of the stories we're singing.
Yeah.
We're hoping to crank it up a bit more this year and play, you know, get back to playing the somewhat farther afield places. Play some more out at Clear Lake and a few
yeah.
of these rural small
yeah.
town, like Hartney Hopper days we haven't been doing a couple of years and do for that one and just stuff like that. Hoping
cool.
to do more of that this year again.
Nice.
Cool.
So okay, go on your song. I just figured it would be a good time to talk about it. We listened to it.
Makes sense, and I don't really have much to say about Elton.
Well, yeah, Britt. You just found this today, right?
Yeah, I was looking for, because I wanted to find something that, like, yeah, there were a few that came to mind right away for Nuclear, and then some of them were by people who have already played recently, so I started looking around for something I'd never heard before, which I've done a couple times.
Yeah, with mixed results.
Mixed results, sure. Well, playing something I've heard before is not necessarily going to...
That might be mixed results,
too. ...sell the show either, but... Yeah, so this is called Uranium Fever,
cool.
And
cool.
It's about digging, you know, trying to, like, mining for uranium, which was big business
Saskatchewan.
In the States at the time, and, yeah, you know, all over for a bit, cool. So, Elton Britt recorded a bunch of stuff. He had, like, some well-known songs, apparently, but I don't remember the names of them, and I hadn't really heard them before. Mm-hmm. One is about...
How did you just search for, like,
I was looking
nuclear?
Up... Yeah, I can't remember, I was probably, well, I'll have to, I looked up a bunch of random stuff. Like, there's an entire website devoted to songs from the 80s about nuclear war.
Oh, yeah.
There's one about songs from the 50s about that, too.
Yeah, except it's like, you have to click on a letter, because each letter will have, like,
oh, okay.
dozens
huge
of.
List, yeah.
Yeah, so I went to a couple places like that looking for some ideas. This was one of the first songs that popped up, and let's check out some Elton Britt.
Awesome. All
right.
Well, I don't know, but I've been told uranium ore is worth more than gold. So...
Elton Britt.
Yeah, that was cool.
Uranium Fever.
I like how it wasn't... I was expecting it to be some kind of, you know, paranoia thing.
Yeah.
Because of the time period, you don't like, but no, it's...
Nope. Pretty gung-ho to find
it. Yeah. Dig
it up, sell it.
Yeah. It's weird because a lot of the stuff, like, I kind of found when I was looking for songs was, you know, maybe 30 years later than this, and it's all super paranoid. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's really, like, you know... Oh no, the Cold War era stuff.
Yeah,
it's just
right.
Really,
yeah.
Really, like, yeah, the world's gonna end. We're all gonna die, kind of thing. And then,
well, yeah, like
here
when
we go, mine uranium.
Well, there's a nuclear arms race, and just stockpiling.
Yeah.
Huge
that's
bombs.
All
like
you're
that's
gonna
insane.
Think about at that
time. But that's
super crazy. This guy also was cool.
But this is, you know, at this point, this is like closer to when like something crazy had been detonated. And
yeah, actually,
so
it happened.
Fresh
for sure.
Public conscience, so.
Which is weird, considering the tone of the song, though, right? Because it's not
very
like...
upbeat.
Oh, there's money to be made, right?
Yeah, right. You can do this again. Let's get some, get all the uranium.
Let's get in on this. Someone's getting rich, and it's not me.
Yeah. It's weird.
I like
super
it.
Weird. I like those. I like a lot of old topical songs like that, just because it's... Because people are just listening to the radio at this point, right? Like, they don't have TVs and stuff. They're on the internet and everything like that. So it's like, this is kind of like telling, you know... I mean, like the Leuven Brothers song, too. I mean, obviously, they take it from a crazy religious... point of view, but like it's just, hey, this is what people are actually worried about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, they want to mine it.
Yeah, strange to have, like, you know, a love song or like a My Woman's Run Out of Me song and then a uranium song come
for
up
sure.
on the radio.
Yeah.
Strange mix.
There's this, this obviously isn't it, but I'm just looking at some of the songs. Like, he seems to be very, his million selling hit is called There's a Star Spangled Banner Waving Somewhere. And I'm not gonna assume about this guy, but, there's actually a compilation that I've really been wanting to find, and it's like early folk stuff. So I mean, a little bit after this, more in the Bob Dylan kind of era, but right wing, like conservative folk movement that happened like concurrently with the more like, you know, hippie thing. And I bet it's awesome. I bet it's kind of similar to a little bit like this, you know, but more like, hey, go, let's go bomb somebody.
Yeah, who'd be on there?
I don't know. I didn't recognize. I mean, I remember reading something about it and thinking this sounds great. I gotta. I haven't tracked it down yet, but. Just because it would be a bizarre, like, you know, because it's such an association you have with that kind of stuff, so, I don't know if this guy would be on it, but he seems like he had a lot of patriotic songs.
Maybe. Yeah, and, like, I don't know that he was writing these songs himself, per se.
I don't know.
I couldn't find very much information on him, actually.
He was a yodeler, though, apparently.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I mean, you don't hear that a lot these days.
Not these days. All right, you got another tune?
Actually, I had a couple kind of in the back pocket, you know, as I forgot this, my LPs that I was going to bring, and the one tune kind of ties in a little bit with that last one. It's a song by Father John Misty.
Oh, yeah.
And it's talking about kind of like an apocalypse of some kind and like what will be left over, and kind of examining the choices that we make at this point. Not necessarily nuclear,
specific,
but, you know, kind of examining what are we doing here as an artist and pumping out these records, and what is it? What are people going to say in the future kind of deal if they
people digging through the
come
rubble?
Across all this garbage that we've left behind?
Yeah.
So maybe we'll cue that one up here.
Sure. Right. What's the name of the song?
Oh, shit. I got to pull it up.
That's all right.
I like how he... and another thing, if I brought... I didn't plan on bringing this album, but I was looking at it earlier, and I've got the LP, and the LP packaging, it's a really trippy cover, for one thing. Nothing crazy other than the cover on artwork, but you pull it out, and he's got, other than like the lyric sheet, which folds out, and the song has a title, an or title, and then an also title.
Oh, wow.
And then there's about three of these quadruple sheets, which is almost like... you know, on the back of old Bob Dylan records when he'd type this gibberish this is exactly like that, but there seems to follow a bit of a narrative, and I haven't been able to finish reading the whole thing at once. And I try to get myself in the right frame of mind, you know, and this sort of thing, but it's just bizarre. Like, that guy is a really interesting artist. I'm really fired up to see what he'll do next, because
how recent is this song?
2012.
Oh, really? Okay.
So just a couple years ago.
Cool.
Yes, Now I'm Learning to Love the War.
Okay.
Right.
Cool, let's check it out. Yeah, that was pretty good. I've actually I've read a lot about that guy, but I've never actually heard him.
I love that album. Like, a couple buddies had kind of tried to turn me on to his stuff. He's got one, I guess, the single called "I'm Writing a Novel," which is hilarious. And I was kind of into it, but not too over the top. And I seen him last year at Coachella, and his performance was unbelievable. Like, he was just... I couldn't tell if it was an act or if he was really just this big of like a jerk, but it seemed like on the line, because it was a performance. Like, it was an entire thing where he was almost like baiting the audience at times,
really,
and then like coming across as kind of really like bitter and everything's passé, but at the same time, like, it seemed like a put on, but maybe, I don't know. I couldn't read the guy, and it just was fascinating. His band is super tight. The arrangements are obviously changed up a little bit for the live setting, but just like as soon as it was done, it was like, that was unbelievable. I want to see that guy again, and I've just over-listened to the record at this point, so I'm just dying for a new one. What I found interesting about that record is it's produced by a guy named Jonathan Wilson, who's this California, I guess, production kind of dude, who's done the Dawes record, and he did the new Deep Dark Woods record.
Okay.
And none of the records sound alike, but they're...
What is the name of this one?
This one's called Fear Fun.
Okay.
And, all of them are completely different, but they have a similar kind of vibe. Like, they're the best stuff that each of these bands has done.
Mm.
And the producer seems to find a way of giving each song its own kind of personality, all the instruments their own place within it. Really, I don't know. I've never been that taken by a producer before.
But so have you delved into like what else he might have gotten his hands on?
He's done some those are the three kind of biggest of his recent ones. He does some solo stuff that I haven't really explored.
Okay.
But he is a performer and a songwriter in his own right.
Yeah.
But the Deep Dark Woods one was the most recent, and the only reason I clued into it was just happened to be reading the backs of these records, and I was like, holy fuck, these are the three records that I listen to too much right now.
And it just happens to be
the
same guy.
Who's been kind of behind all of them.
About what you were saying before, we listened to the song, like about what the song's the content is about. I think it's interesting that there seems to be a lot of stuff, you know, whether it's songs or fiction or movies or anything, talking about what would happen after Armageddon. Like, people seem really fixated on
what ifs.
It's like, there's so many stories where it's like, you know, there's one person left on Earth or whatever, and that kind of thing.
One man.
And I mean, that stuff is really cool, but it's just it's weird that it's people are so fascinated by it. Like, you know, it's not even so much the story's not about the world ending, it's about the afterwards, and I don't know. I mean, that's why zombies are cool again, right? Because it's like, what do you do in survival mode, kind of, I don't know, people love that shit. Like,
Yeah, it's weird. People play on fears, both real and imagined. Because there's a lot, like, now that the internet and technology is a thing. There's a lot, and like internet or like personal security.
Yeah.
There's a lot of movies coming out where like, yeah, people are robbed of their individuality through technological means or something.
Yeah. It's weird.
Or you could also have like shark zombies.
It's never just nuclear bombs anymore though, right? It's like now it's always something crazy, like some kind of virus has turned everyone into mutants. Yeah, for sure. It's weird.
One reason that song plays with me, I've always been fascinated with like what would happen to all our shit.
Yeah.
When it's
like,
just
gonna be
like,
sitting there and
like just sitting there forever and slowly rotting and what's not gonna rot, you know?
Yeah. And then it kind of like adds to the importance of keeping stuff. Is it really important to keep any of this stuff?
Yeah.
Or records of any of this stuff? Like, I would always think, you know, it's important to keep records of everything. It's important to have documentation in case, you know, something happens. There'll still be, you know, the culture and everything will still be there. But then it's like the brother to that thought is, how's anyone going to know how to watch it? I mean, everything's stored on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and then a million years from now, aliens come to Earth, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, they use the internet.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's stored on, like, a computer disk. One thing that, I mean, this is kind of a tangent, but at a previous job I had, one thing I was doing was interviewing an archivist who was just keeping track of all the company's records over the past 100 years or whatever, and it was, like, an internal person who was, the company doesn't matter, but it's all the files and stuff, all the history. And one thing that she mentioned to me was that a big chunk of stuff kind of from the 90s onwards was really more difficult to keep a grasp on than the early stuff because it's all saved in formats and things that don't exist anymore.
Yeah,
so, you know, in 1990, you're putting everything on, like, you know, five and a quarter floppy disks or whatever. And then, you know, in 2012 or whatever, no one can read it. So, I mean, it's like, and everything now. So if the apocalypse happened now, no one's going to have anything except for stuff that was like pre-computers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
It's kind of weird. I don't know.
So our record collections are safe.
Yeah, our record collections are fine, but people's MP3 collections, theirs are done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Our podcast is done. There's no physical version of this. This is gone. This is gone from the public consciousness, yeah. I mean, it might be a good thing. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, before it completely disappears from the face of the earth, we should mention where people can listen to other episodes if they want.
That's a very good segue, John. I like that. Yeah, we're going to play one more song. And before we get into that, we do our little wrap-up thing. So if you want to find more episodes of the show, this is the 66th episode. All the previous 65 are available for free download and streaming on witchpolice.com. There's a podcast button on the top menu bar. Hit that. It should pull up all the themes, all the guests, all
the
shows.
Yeah, lots of guests, lots of themes.
Yeah, cool. And it's all free. And you can also hear us on the actual radio on Monday nights, 11 p.m., 101.5 UMFM. And if you're not in Winnipeg, you can hear that on umfm.com. Stream it, so we encourage people to listen to both.
Yeah, we're on Facebook, Witch Police Radio.
Yep.
We're on Twitter at Witch Police FM.
Yep.
That's usually Sam talking about hockey.
Usually. Usually, yeah.
And we're on Stitcher.
Yeah, I like Stitcher. Stitcher is it just makes it easier for you to listen to podcasts and talk radio on like your phone or mobile device. And so if you subscribe to our show on there, it just automatically downloads new episodes and then deletes them when you're done, so it doesn't take up a bunch of room on your phone and stuff. And the more people listen to us on there and the more people review it and rate it, the more Stitcher recommends it to other people. So
people in random places.
Yeah, it kind of just, it kind of means like if people actually decide to use that to hear the show, then more people are going to hear it. It's going to be just popped up in you might also like. And some guy, you know, in Texas or whatever, is going to, for whatever the algorithm is going to pop up and he's going to check out our show. So maybe.
Yeah, but so for this show, the nuclear theme, we've had two guests.
Yeah, and I think we should, both of our guests are doing pretty interesting things. I think we should maybe let them tell you where that you can hear and read what they're doing. So we'll start with Carly, maybe. And
I've got a website that's pretty comprehensive for all of the things I'm doing. It's carlydownmusic.com. As for shows, I've got a couple coming up, but the one I'm most excited about is April 5th at the Folk Exchange with Jesse Matus, and the two of us are going to do some solo sets and then collaborative set to close the night off. So,
and people listening to the show probably know who Jesse is. I mean, he's been on a
couple times.
Yeah, one of them was a split episode because it was so long, it went over 2 weeks. And we've played music with Jesse since like the first band I was ever in was 1995. Jesse played bass, I played guitar. So, like,
in the Juice Box era.
And the Juice Box, oh man,
yeah.
The Juice Box is so like good. We actually did a whole interview on Juicebox specifically.
Yeah, it's pretty legendary.
Juicebox is still my favorite thing that anyone I know personally has ever recorded. So, I mean, it's on Witchpolice too, witchpolice.com. You can download Juicebox for free, and I would encourage everyone to go. Yeah, and I know this isn't like a Jesse episode, but like because you mentioned him, please download Juicebox right now. It rules.
Have you played at the Folk Exchange before? Because I thought you were going to say that something about the Folk Exchange.
No, I was talking about Juicebox.
It's come up as a venue before.
Yeah, I've never. I've seen it. I've never actually seen a show there.
No, okay.
It's nice. Yeah. I've played there a couple times.
Good atmosphere, good room.
It's a nice little space. Mm-hmm. The Folk Fest volunteers are really great people, and they usually put on a good show. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you have, if people want to contact you, like social media and all that stuff?
I'm on Facebook. It's Carly Down Music, and I don't do Twitter. I don't know what it is.
Gotta get on there, Carly. Gotta get on there.
It's 2014.
Especially if I'm putting out an album, I'll have to get with the times, I guess.
It's basically just a tool for yelling at people who are more famous than you.
So, Facebook is kind of the thing I do, and I have a YouTube channel, and check me out there. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, and we've also had Sheldon Birdie from Stylus, among many other things. So, yeah, where can people find your writing, maybe, first of all?
I got a website, sheldonbirdie.com, where I try to post the most recent links from various freelance gigs.
Yeah, I noticed that you've done like quite a pretty wide-ranging type of freelance stuff. I mean, you got stuff from Vice and Canadian Dimension. Like,
yeah.
Pretty random, like, assortment.
I'm interested in random things, and it's sort of who is interested in paying me to write about them.
For sure.
I'll pitch them here or pitch them there.
Yeah.
And there's still a bunch of places I'm pitching that I've yet to crack.
Yeah, but yeah.
Someday soon, Modern Farmer, I'm coming for you.
Nice.
Anyways, you can find most recent links there, or the most recent ones I remember to post.
Yeah.
Cheeringforthebadguy.com. You can find shows and listen to all of our stuff there, or order the LP there. We got a few shows coming up. I believe we're at Times Changed on the 4th of April, and then we're at the Windsor on May 17th. We're putting a show on there, which should be fun. Details are still coming together.
Cool.
And then Stylus Magazine, stylusmagazine.ca. There's new content coming up 2 or 3 times a week generally there. As we get into festival season, there'll be a lot of stuff going up. And then as that snowballs into our official 25th anniversary, we're hoping to put a lot of neat stuff up there, some archival stuff.
Cool.
And you can find that all there. On Twitter, at BadGuyBernie. I like Twitter, so get at me if you're on there. That's always fun.
That's how we actually got you
connected
on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, I know John is a little terrified of Twitter.
I'm not too sure
it is. But and a lot of people, I was too for a long time. I was like, I don't want to do this. This sounds horrible. But it actually has worked out very well
for
the show in terms of getting guests. I mean, we've had quite a few people who have just been like a random, hey, do you want to be on the show? And that's how we got you here. And I like it for that.
That's a great tool. Great way to have an open public conversation or argument with people.
Yes, arguments are great. Yeah. I was having an argument with Microsoft today.
Okay.
Read all about it on Twitter.com.
Yeah.
It's a great website, Twitter.
Yeah. You may have heard of it, yeah. So, we have another song, though, we're going to get into, and it's Carly's pick. So what have you got here?
Yeah, I'm going to dive into the 80s, because we haven't really done that yet.
Surprisingly.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of
content
from the 80s. Yeah. And there were a bunch of different directions. I was not sure what I would go down. There were a bunch of songs on Chernobyl and Hiroshima. And I ended up going with Nina, 99 Left Balloons, because my dad had it on vinyl.
That's a good
so here we go. Yeah. This is Nina.
Well, so
what's the connection first? Maybe what?
Okay. Yeah, so I'm gonna play the German version for you, but the story behind the song is kind of similar to what John had figured the song was about. The story behind it is these big red balloons were released in some sort of celebration, and it was misinterpreted as a missile firing signal, and kind of throughout the song it progresses into panic and then nuclear warfare. And it's a pretty poppy, happy 80s song.
Yeah,
so
classic.
The content of it is kind of surprising once you listen to the lyrics in the English version, but if you just listen to the German version, it's kind of just fun dance.
It's a nice
music.
Little pop tune.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I've heard the song a million times, but I never really paid attention to what the lyrics were.
Yeah, and I was looking up the theme of the show, and this song came up, and I was kind of like, whoa, yeah, that does make sense.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it, so.
Awesome.
That's all right. A good way to thanks go. For, yeah. Thanks for coming, guys.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for tuning in, listener.
Yeah. Enjoy a nuclear war. Hast du etwas Zeit für mich? Singe ich ein.